It's locally owned.
It's Copper Row.
Organically grown.
It's Copper Row.
Your heart will warm.
It's Copper Row.
Got that hometown charm.
It's Copper Row.
I'm now to check in with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, who joins us here in the studio to help us wrap up another busy week. Mayor, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. So before we get into local things, I know you're also an attorney, and we just got the word about the pending confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh. So thoughts about what this is going to mean for the Supreme Court and for American society and law in general?
You know, it just really tremendously disappointing, I think, because I think this week delay gave a lot of us hope that there would be something to persuade those on the fence to vote against this nomination. And not only, you know, what could have been investigated this week, but just reflecting on the performance during the hearing last week, you know. But that being said, we knew whoever President Trump appointed would be a conservative. And this, you know, it might not have been our first choice, but we know that there would have been another conservative anyway. But it just, you know, it kind of makes the midterm elections all the more important, the upcoming presidential election even more important, especially with some justices on the court who are getting older and older. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a good reminder, and you made the point just there, that we sort of mentally, whether it's at the front of our minds or in the back, kind of tie this nomination in with this specific president, Donald Trump. But whether it's Trump or Cruz or Jeb Bush or anyone else had come out of that primary in 2016, it would have been the same list of nominees basically to choose from.
It would have been. And, you know, despite all of the other what I consider failings of the Trump presidency, I'm certain for Republicans that, you know, and we said it before the election, right? This is the mark that will be there for decades to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle. So let's turn to local issues and local governments. We just had the music festival that was last week Sunday, which is a good day and sort of the best day on the Carborough calendar every single year, rain or shine. And in this case, it was very shiny, right?
Oh, very shiny. Yeah. You know, just wonderful day. Good weather, lots of people out, no mishaps. I think I told you that they had the first kind of sing-along under the old elm tree at 4 o'clock in front of Town Hall, and that was a lot of fun. I went over there and participated in that for a while. But it seemed like people were just, you know, having as good a time as always.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun to be out and about and not have to worry about the weather.
You need to have an old elm tree that you can do a sing-along under. Right? If you have an old elm tree, you got to do sing-alongs under it every so often.
There you go.
Yeah. So that was on Sunday. And then immediately jumping back into the swing of things this week with a big meeting of the Board of Aldermen on Tuesday, at which, among other things, you talked about student housing. So what was discussed and what was decided?
Yeah, this was a really good presentation. And I want to thank the folks from UNC that came out to make it. Aaron Bockenheimer, who is also a Carborough resident, he's UNC's Executive Director of Off-Campus Student Life and Community Partnerships. And then along with him was Alan Blattner, who I believe is the Director of Residential Life. I think that's his title, but he certainly knew about residential life. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think that. And then Dr. Christopher Payne and Linda Kahnweiser were there also from UNC. But they gave us an overview of the current state of housing at Carolina, not just for, you know, talked about predominantly, I guess, on-campus housing, but talked a little bit about the transition to some off-campus housing. Told us a lot of statistics, one of which was interesting was that as compared with other peer institutions, Carolina actually has more freshmen and sophomores, and you probably know this, staying on campus.
Yeah.
Like, for example, as compared to Kansas and others. So that's kind of a cool thing. I'm not sure that we all knew that because they're only required to live on campus their freshman year. But then, as with most kind of universities, by the time a student's a junior, they're often mostly seeking off-campus housing. And They had to give us a little bit of a discussion of their efforts toward making the, I guess, residence halls. I might have said dormitory. I always get a slap when I see the dormitory. But how they try to make the residence halls more appealing, you know, to young people, you know, adding game rooms or jazzing it up with colors or, you know, making it look, you know, certainly making it more tech-friendly, having maker space, having printers, having food accessible, you know, that kind of stuff that might make it more appealing. Upfitting some of the old residence halls to have more bathrooms and accessibility to bathrooms. And this really actually hit very close to home because we have a child that just graduated from college 2 years ago and one who's in their junior year or their third year. But it's you know, it is really, you know, kind of a it's very different than the experience we all had when we were in dormitories, you know. And just that kind of marketing effort that has to go on by the university to keep their dorm residence halls full, and also there was this perception out there that maybe not all of the residence halls were actually filled, and they showed us some statistics that showed there was a little decline 1 year after a few off-campus sites opened up, but that for the most part there generally are very few vacancies scattered across the campus. So I thought that was all interesting.
So what does that mean for sort of trends for Carver?
Well, another thing. So then another trend, another point that came out was they talked a little bit about when these students moved to their off-campus housing in their junior and senior years and the fact that, first of all, of the students that live in Carborough, two-thirds of the students that live in Carborough are graduate students, kind of the reverse of, you know, one-third maybe in Chapel Hill. So we knew that really already that older students in their advanced studies like to live in our town, as do young professionals, you know, for a variety of reasons. Secondly, though, this is an interesting statistic, and it was one that the Damon Siles on our board brought up that I recalled. The fact that the number of students that live in Carborough, at least according to when you look at data, like data sources, like community data, the number of college students that live in Carborough has not changed. Like since the year 2000, the actual numbers have stayed the same for almost 20 years.
We're talking like the real numbers,
like the real raw numbers. And,
wow.
And part of it was I think there was really an inquiry as to is that true or not. But when you look at the data from these independent, you know, kind of statistical places that every year do these community data surveys, so that means that as that number has stayed the same and as our population has increased, that the number of students percentage-wise has decreased. So, like in the year 2000, students were 20% of our population, whereas in 2018, students would be 16% of our population. So that's an interesting, you know, there's a perception, I think, that, oh, the students are coming and they're you know, we're tearing down these mill houses and building up these big houses or whatever, and I think there is some truth to that. Certainly we've seen that in a few places in town. We're trying to address that, but I think it really just represents more of a shift in certain spots or places where students might be renting rather than a radical increase in the number of students.
What do you think causes that perception? Because I know that that's the case, that there's kind of more and more of a feeling that there's an increasing number of students that are kind of branching out a little bit further away from campus and moving into neighborhoods like Carborough, but that's not the case if the numbers are right. So
based on the data, it's not. Now, maybe the perception is, you know, we certainly know that we have students in the north side area of Chapel Hill, and therefore the part of Carborough that's in north side, we're starting to see a little bit of a creep into that neighborhood, and they showed a map that indicated as much. But, you know, Aaron, it might also just be maybe more students hang out in Carborough and then go home to Chapel Hill or Orange County or wherever they live, because we certainly know that with the increase in, you know, restaurants and eating establishments and always with the Cradle and Weaver Street and so forth, that we have a significant number of undergrads and graduate students that just like to come over to Carborough to hang out.
So at the end of the presentation, any kind of recommendations for action for the town?
It was more information,
right.
And I guess also there was an interesting point made about all of the current inventory of apartment complexes, kind of in the area of the larger ones, okay, and where, for example, university housing would fall on that spectrum, and they they kind of fall as a good for your value, medium-ish kind of buy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's the real much more expensive, newer apartments, and then there's the ones that are at the very low end. But, you know, they also talked about these talks that they have with kids, which I'm really well aware of, where, you know, look, you know, be careful what apartments you're, you know, leasing, because it says, if it says utilities included, what does that mean? Does that mean cable? Does that mean, what about water? You know, what about electricity? And then, you know, of course, other things like, you know, food costs,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing. So they talked a little bit about that, that kind of comparison of when a student, the reasons a student might want to move off campus, and they're all the logical reasons we would think that it would be, mm-hmm. right? Want a little more independence, want to be able to cook, want to be able to be more independent, want to be able to have my own bathroom, want to be able to have friends over more. But then the reality, as it bears out, they have found that students that say they want to cook, you know, might cook a couple of times, but end up going out much more than they thought they would have.
Yeah. So. And microwaving the rest of the time, right?
Right. So
again, speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, townofcarrboro.org is the town's website for more information about town government events and happenings and upcoming meetings. You can look back at archives for past meetings as well. Other issue, and this is definitely kind of a post-Hurricane Florence issue, is concerns that have come up about, and you're going to have to explain some of this to me, oil leaking within people's homes and what people can do about that.
Yeah, so I think it was mainly one home this time,
mm-hmm.
although when I looked through a little bit of the history of this and some of the letters, I think that there had been another home sometime within the last year or two, okay? And so basically my understanding is of what happened here, and I'm not sure if the flood had anything to do with it, or
okay.
if it just happened to do with bad timing.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure about that, but in any event, it does seem like there was some tie-in about this oil spill, right? And so what happened was, I mean, that there, you know, it was a house in the Plantation Acres area that you know had an old underground tank in their
mm-hmm.
yard, and this is the case, you know, really in lots of the lots and properties in downtown Carrboro, right? I mean, that's really the way that a lot of the houses were heated
mm-hmm.
in the days before we
so
had.
So these are not tanks that are currently being used. They're just there from before.
No, they're generally ones that were there from before,
yeah.
and they're under. You know, in the old days when these were used, you know, people could put them, I guess, outside or beneath the ground. And so, we have created actually a link on our webpage, on the Town of Carrboro webpage. It's a link directly to heating oil tanks, and it's to help residents know about the risks that are associated with having an underground home heating oil tank. And, you know, I suppose in some instances, people may not even know if they have one or not.
I was going to say,
right?
Like, I don't know if I would know.
So some information we received from Randy Dodd, our stormwater utility manager, was that he and his staff, they're working right now to kind of pull together information on neighborhoods or properties that might be at higher risk. And then they're going to use different avenues to reach out to those neighborhoods in the days to come in order to maybe try to identify these ahead of time and then kind of look a little more forward on how these might be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but the bottom line is, you know, for example, with the one that has happened, the one that did have a leak that was on, I think the actual street address was somewhere on Phipps Street.
Okay.
You know, the bottom line is that where, you know, someone from DEQ, you know, probably the Division of Environmental Quality from the state, came out and looked at it and spoke about, you know, the need to kind of get it taken care of right away. There, you know, the homeowners had 30 days to comply with remediation of the site, and the homeowner is now talking with their insurance company,
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out how that can be addressed. And so, in any event, it's definitely a situation, particularly in those areas where we get a lot of water, and whether that precipitated it or not, it seems like it may have. It's an area where we're going to be trying to address it and inform people more so that, you know, we don't have incidents like this happen in the future.
Yeah. Speaking again with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, again, townofcarrboro.org for information about town government in Carrboro. Talking about things that have been discussed and have been happening in the last week, but I got to wrap up by looking ahead to 2019, because we just had Pride in Durham in 2018, and I know you're already starting to think about what we might do locally for Pride next year.
Yeah, and this is really, we just had our Pride in Durham, which is always in September, I think, because it's not hot. But we really celebrate Pride by way of a proclamation in June with the town. And so last year we had this really cool little Pride Piper March, which was really a lot of fun. But next June, 2019, I have set up a committee. It's a planning committee for celebrating Pride Month 2019. And the reason I want to make this this upcoming year's celebration very visible is because I think we've talked about this is the 50th anniversary of Stonewall. Mm-hmm. And so that, of course, gave rise to the birth. It was really the birth of the LGBT rights movement. And so in any event, there's an application on our website right now that folks can click on and link on to apply. The deadline for applications is Friday, October 19th. But, you know, there's a variety of ideas that I have. And when I see who ends up coming forward to sign up for this committee, I'd like to figure out a way to have a lot of these happen in celebration of this. But some ideas I have are maybe the Pride Piper March again.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'll issue my proclamation. I would like to have a book reading and with a particularly, you know, with some type of an appropriate book. Mm. And I know some folks that are already interested in that. I'd like to have some folks who will serve as outreach to different restaurants, like to restaurants, our restaurant community, our beverage community, and to come up with, you know, some really cool marketing ideas around month of Pride. I'd like to have a dance. I don't know if we're going to get to have this or not,
yeah.
But I think that'd be a lot of fun. And
that would
Aaron,
be cool.
If we can get out there and like do some dancing, that'd be cool, right? You know, maybe at the
Century
Center.
You want this to be a good event.
Yeah.
I don't know if...
Well, you know, the older we get, you know, we're not as worried about that, you know, yeah. But I just think it'd be kind of fun to have a dance, just like, you know, come as you are, come flamboyant, whatever.
Like it.
Yeah. On a serious note, we might have a panel discussion of some sort, mm-hmm. you know, talking about the current state of LGBT rights, you know, where we've been, where we're going, that kind of thing. Maybe we could work it into the Second Friday Art Walk, mm-hmm. you know, and try to ask places to kind of have an emphasis in on art that month. So those are just some ideas that I've had. And as soon as we get this group identified and together, then we'll I imagine we'll probably have some pop-up events or pop-up ideas that we haven't thought of. But as soon as we get this group identified, we'll have a meeting and then just kind of go from there.
I remember a few years ago, and this was before Carper started doing the Frederick Douglass reading every year on the 4th of July, there was a public reading of A Song of Myself under...
Yes.
At Weaver Street Lawn, that would
be
not even necessarily that poem, but some poetry
reading.
Yeah.
So, all right, do you know where the link is to go and apply?
It's at tarnofcarborough.org. All right, I will check it out.
Yeah, maybe we could have some other kind of a community reading of some sort. That's not a bad thought.
Yeah. Again, tarnofcarborough.org for that and any more information that you need about town government, including archives of past meetings, like the one this past Tuesday where they talked about student housing. Mayor Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.